Bibles to Genesis chapter, well, chapter 41. We'll give an introduction of chapter 40. From the prison to the palace, the patience that Joseph had in his journey from his path from the prison to the palace. You know the story, so we'll probably just tell the story of different times, different things, mention a few verses, because I'd like to review, though, because going into this from the prison to the palace is patience. We have to touch on chapter 40, because that's where he went to the prison from Potiphar. Remember, we've talked last week where we talked about how he went from there at Potiphar and the lies that we're talking about him. And it just seems like, doesn't it? It seems like this with Joseph. Things are going great, and then they're not. Then they're going great, and then they're not. And he just gets in a bad situation, and he starts getting better, and he starts doing great, and then it collapses again. And so as we think of chapter 40, we see the first few verses of chapter 40, if you just want to follow along that way. The first three verses, you see the butler and the baker's imprisonment, and in there you'll see their conduct and their confinement, what they're there. But right away then, in verses 4 through 7, you'll see Joseph's investment in their lives. His good care for them in verse 4 and verses 5 through 7, his genuine concern for them. Let me just pause for just a second. Joseph, as I say, Joseph's investment in their lives. He was in a prison where there was the prisoner of the king's prisoners. And he was, of course, went to the top of taking care of, and the head of the prison had him taking care of everyone, and he specifically had them take care of the butcher and the baker. But he started to invest in their lives. You know, how do you invest in someone's life in prison? You're both there. But let me just take it in a practical application of investment in our lives. Aren't you glad you're not in prison tonight? I know I am. And here we're free to invest in other people's lives. In God's plan, through his big plan, something that seems little here, in all of the things that happened in Joseph's life, he went and he had him invest. Now, he served a lot of others, but he didn't say anything else, but there was two people that he had in mind to cause them to have a dream. And those are the ones that he had to invest in their lives. It's best that we are tender to where God leads us and the people that he leads us around, at work, at play, wherever. You'll never know. Joseph invested in his life. You'll never know that person that you meet that fixed your golf cart. What you said or your countenance or whatever meant something to them. I will never forget one of the things when I was at the grocery store a few years ago when Citizens Bank was right here in town. And one of the tellers, her name is Joan. She's now over in Hampton over there, right? No, East Hampton. She's over in East Hampton, the bank over there, and we still see her. And I remember she was in there, and she was really frowning and really just sort of. And I went up to her and I says, "Hey, Joan, how you doing? Good to see you." And she just notices this. I said, "So where's the smile?" Or I said something like that, and she just started smiling. I went to the bank the next time, and I had her or someone else, and she went and said, "That guy there made my day." I went and told the story to the tellers. Says, "I was having a rotten day and I was thinking about all these things." And he came in there with a smile and started talking to me and whatever Sedge did and just changed me in my countenance. She's probably still not saved, but I tell you what, I see her every time and I try not to leave without saying, "Hey, Joan." And now I'm getting to know the other tellers. You know, you'll never know the investment. That's why I'm trying to so hard try to relate to you the importance in Scripture of us being disciples, of taking people, investing our lives in people. and getting to a point where you can, and they'll want to have a Bible study with you. Some of them will never come to church. They never will. But they're going to start liking you, or they already do like you, and they will sit down at your home or someplace and have a Bible study or talk about the Bible. And then once God gets a hold of them, you'll see it. You know, as far as my time so far here, it's hard to believe, we'll be here now for 16 years in June. And in striving to tell people about Christ, the ones that I've been, that we've seen actually make a profession and lead to the Lord are all those that built a relationship that we then went and had a Bible study, not just point blank them. All of them are one where we went and were able to have a Bible study where I built a relationship and then finally said, hey, can we have a Bible study? Do you want to come and we'll just... And then eventually, those are the ones that have gotten saved and changed. We need to be with one another, learning from one another, and investing in lives. Well, to go on so we don't labor the point, we realize that Joseph then in chapter 40, verses 8 through 19, then we see Joseph's interpretation of their dreams, that he realized the source was God. And he stated their dreams in verses 9 through 11 and 16 through 17. He solved it in verses 12 and 13, 18 and 19. And then Joseph summoned the butler in verses 4 through 15. And what he did, 14 and 15, he summoned him and said, now look, when you get out and get in your position, remember me. Hey, I've invested my life in you. I've tried to help you. And have a relationship here. And he says, so remember me. And so can you imagine what it was like for Joseph when the butler left there and he says, hey, I built a good relationship. I think I got through to this guy. And then, so he's saying, hey, maybe I'll hear it today. And the next day, Joseph probably thinks, well, maybe I'll hear what? Today. And the next day he says, maybe I'll hear it today. And weeks went by, months went by, 2 years went by, and nothing. Well, in verses 20 through 23, we see that dream's impact. We see its fulfillment in verses 20 to 22. But we see in verse 23, before we get to chapter 41, that we see the butler's forgetfulness. And think of this, the butler's forgetfulness created a disappointment in Joseph's life. The butler's forgetfulness created a disappointment in Joseph's life, yet Joseph continued to be safe, to be faithful. He was looking forward to it, but he kept to be faithful. I guess a good phrase would be, in today's day and age, he rolled with the punches. Do you think that was a punch in the gut or whatever? He had invested himself. But you never know when. You know when God's in something, it's going to happen. Because it took 2 years. He had to be patient. He had to be faithful to God for 2 years. And then God did a work in all their lives. You see, forgetfulness and faithfulness will impact a life in ways you'll never know. Forgetfulness and faithfulness both will impact a life in ways you'll never know. Did butler forget? Did he impact Joseph's life? Was Joseph faithful? Did he impact the butler's life? Yeah. And he might not have done it just the way Joseph himself wanted. But it did happen the way God wanted. And so we see that he's preparing him now as we come to chapter 41 for his patience seen and his faithfulness that's rewarded as he goes from the prison to the palace. For one of the great virtues that God was developing in Joseph's life was patience. Please, Please strive to know that God's in control. And the only way you can work on our patience is when you know that God's in control. And you can then say, okay, how many of you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you have loved ones that are unsaved? And you pray for them all the time. And you've been praying for them for years and years and years. Or there might be something else that's due and that's going on, and you pray for years and years. You will never know when, and sometimes you might never see them again and know that something's going to happen in their lives as you continue to pray, because God's in control as you've invested in a life. Boy, I could give you illustration after illustration. I'm sure many of you could give me illustrations. And so we must realize that Joseph finally sees his first day and his first ray of hope. And he had waited for the butler to remember, and no word continued to come. Think of this. God had not revealed to Joseph what he was going to do or happen. He didn't reveal to him. Think of this about Joseph. This is one thing that I realized. He was putting this word as I was studying or reading. And what did Joseph do with the butler and the baker? He interpreted what? Dreams. What did he do with Pharaoh? Two dreams. He interpreted their dreams. God, and every one of those, God said to him, I mean, he said, God's the one. He never took the credit. He realized only God can interpret dreams. Did you know that in God's supernatural power that he gave Joseph to interpret those dreams, he never gave Joseph the supernatural power to interpret his own dream? Ever thought of that? What were his dreams? Years ago, the very dreams that got all this stuff started. He dreamt that they're going to bow down to him. And you could sort of have an idea, but have no idea. He was there in Egypt. And think of that. Now he's in prison. I wouldn't be a bit surprised he thought of those dreams, but like, how is this going to, what is this? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe those dreams, maybe. I mean, I know now as I'm getting older, I'm starting to think, did that really happen? Yeah, did I really do? I'll go and see something. I'm going, you know, I'll never forget. When I was on vacation time, I was golfing at the Quest, where I always golfed at the camp, you know, and I remember where I used to be able to hit the ball. And I went and looked. I remember this one hole that I went up to the very top and the very back, the tips of the tee, and I looked and I remembered where I could hit it. And now I'd have to hit it twice probably to even get that close. I just go, I don't. Joseph probably remembered, he was young. He was about 30 at this time. And he was young and he probably remembered his dreams, but God hadn't directed him to interpret his. Now I'm sure when those things happened, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. There is a spark in his mind and saying, ah, again. But by those answer those dreams, what happened? What would have it done to Joseph? What would it do to us? You see God's answered prayer. What does it do? It just excites you more. I'll tell you something this afternoon that just, it was Quincy. You don't know what's going to happen from it. It was just, if you don't mind me saying it, that, my wife was talking with the Bergens this morning about their niece, right? Their niece that's looking for is graduating from BJ. And by the way, this is free. I usually don't sidetrack, but I'm going to sidetrack for a second. Dave's going to, I know he doesn't want you to know this, but Dave's going to graduate with his MDiv, right, down at BJ this in May. And so we praise the Lord for that and all the hard work that through the year that he's done. And so, but anyways, that was, again, that was free, a sidetrack. But I want you to be praying for him and praise the Lord for that. And they were just talking about Adam needing to get different teachers for the school there. And I guess some way it got on your niece that this is what she's graduated before. She's graduated from BJ, and she's a history. And they says, well, they need a history down where Adam is. Adam texted Brenda this afternoon, before we even got to lunch, and said, we had some folks this weekend looking. We had a girl phys ed teacher and a girl history teacher that just came to see our ministry, to see whether that would be what God had for him. And you can guess who the history one was. His niece. To me, you know what, I'm saying that to tell you why I'm saying that. To me, that tickles me to the point I'm saying, how could I ever not think that God is in control of all things? I mean, that might mean nothing, and you might go there. That's not the point. What it did to me, let me put it that way. What that situation did for me is again reminded me, God, you are a great God, and you're going to do great things. I need to be faithful to you no matter how long it takes. And that's what Joseph did. And so we see that God used those dreams to elevate Joseph. And it helped him, God enabled him to endure in the midst of deep sorrow and distress. And so Joseph had proven himself faithful to God and therefore fit for service. The misery of prison to the splendor of the courts. And so we see in verses 1 through 8 and verses 17 through 24 in chapter 41 of Genesis, the facts of Pharaoh's dreams. Now, you can read those on your own. You know the different facts that we have in his first dream. But Pharaoh's two dreams caused him great distress. And God used an Israelite slave to confound the wisdom of Egypt, because he had these dreams, and he was troubled with these dreams. And so he then asked his wise men that have been able to do everything for him, and they had no answer to it. He has a second dream, and he's distressed. And as you even think of the two dreams, one was a pastoral setting. In other words, pastors, and not pastors, but animals pastures. We'll go pastures, they'll say. Setting. And the second was agricultural setting. Involved, they were similar, but one dream involved the flocks of Egypt and the second one the crops of Egypt. That was where their whole economy represented lifeblood. And can you imagine the head of a country and the leader of the world at that time? Can you imagine? Okay, we serve the raw God and this is here and there. What about our economy? Are you ever concerned about our economy here? Here is a leader that's concerned about the economy that God gave him and the two dreams he has. And at that time, in Old Testament times, God showed himself through dreams, through a fruitful year. There's another thing that he showed through a fruitful year and through prophets and different things of that sort. And so here, the two things that he has a dream about have to do with the whole economy of the country and the nation. And they are what? One seems like it's good, and the other one seems like it's not good. And Pharaoh woke up distressed. Have you ever woken up distressed? By the way, I don't believe God uses dreams today. I know there's some people that have said, and I'm going, I usually ask what they had the night before, or if they had pizza the night before, or whatever. I just believe God uses his word. And dreams are weird, aren't they? Some of the dreams you have. But remember this, what are those dreams are? There's something in your mind and then there just goes crazy. But have you ever woken up from a dream, maybe shaking or just something happened that and you it was stretched out, but you dreamt about something and you woke up and just, in fact, in your dream, you were distressed really big. And in your dream, you said, I hope this is just a dream. I'm sure we've all done that because of how God works in our minds. He woke up distressed. Only this is where God meant him to woke up distressed. He put something in his heart. The ruler of the world at that time, or the leader of the world at the time, the ruler of the nation of Egypt, and he put something in his heart. He put that stress in his heart so that he would so be disturbed that he did whatever it took to find out what that meant. And God was working in his life because God was going to save a world from famine, from not eating. And he had purposed to do it this way. And so we see then in verse 8, his reaction of the dream. He was so troubled and distressed. Remember this, no matter how powerful a nation might be, it is still not beyond God's sovereign control. I don't care what United States of America thinks. I don't care what Russia thinks. I don't care what China thinks. I don't care what the other major nations of the world thinks. God is in control, and he has a plan, and we can be certain on the authority of God's word, that is what's going to happen. And whatever's happening now is part of that, and we need to be patient, as well as excited about living for God during the day and age he's given us. And so we see that God's in control, and so we see then comes up in verses 9 through 13, the friend of Joseph. The facts of the dream, and now the friends of Joseph. And so remember this, God prodded the cupbearer, the butler's memory, so he could recall what happened to him in prison. Do you believe God prodded him? Well, look what verse 9 says. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Who do you think brought those memories into his mind? Do you think it was a coincidence? Do you think God did? Now let me ask you another question. How many years after Joseph interpreted the dream and the butler was restored to his position? By the way, they don't know. They think that maybe this is history and different ones, traditions and stuff, and seeing that the Bible doesn't say anything, but that some think that maybe the baker was the cause of whatever they were in prison for. That's why his head was taken, and realized that the butler had nothing to do with it. Makes for a good story. But we don't know, of course, according to Scripture. But when the butler's dream was fulfilled and he was restored to his full responsibilities to Pharaoh, how many years was it before he remembered Joseph? 2 years. So in 2 years, God prodded the butler. After 2 years, prodded the butler to remember Joseph. Could God have prodded the butler 1 week after this happened? Yeah, he could have. But God chose not to, because there are some things in Joseph's life he had to work on, because God knew that Joseph wasn't ready yet to be the second in command of the world. And how I come across that is by faith, knowing that God is in control, and God chose not to have anything happen until 2 years. Can you imagine, though, the excitement of Joseph when he heard that the butler remembered him? In fact, think of this. The butler speaks to Pharaoh, and he tells him about Joseph. He reminded Pharaoh of his punishment. He told Pharaoh about his dream. He told Pharaoh about Joseph's interpretation of his and the baker's and how that all happened and came together. And so look at verses 14 and 15. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself, changed his raiment, came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. The butler had some good things to say about Joseph and his reputation. In fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that Pharaoh had some men go and see the keeper of the jail and say, okay, this man that you have running, this Joseph guy, what's he like? And he went back and told him what he was like, adding that with what the butler, that's just a story, my speculation, but we know the butler did. And we see that he came in front of him. In his roller coaster experience, we see, though, the remarkable plans of God. In fact, let me just read to you what one commentator said as far as putting it in a story, what might have gone through Joseph's mind. Once his name was brought before Pharaoh, things moved very quickly. We can picture the scene. There was Joseph in his prison garb, bustling to and fro on his many errands as right-hand man of the prison governor. Perhaps he was inducting a new convict into prison routine when the message came, or supervising perhaps the preparation of the noonday meal, or haggling with a supplier over the price of corn. But suddenly his name was called, and the jailer was before him. "Quick, off with those clothes. Here, wash yourselves, shave off your beard, put on these robes. Hurry, man, Pharaoh wants you." "The Pharaoh wants me? Whatever for?" "I don't know, something about a dream. Hurry, man, do you want me to lose my head?" So Joseph, arrayed in court robes, was hurried off to Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh was probably arrayed in long, hooded skirt made of priceless Egyptian linen. He had golden sandals on his feet, such was the Pharaoh, a man supposed to be a god, the incarnation of Ra. And we see Pharaoh's resolve and the wonderful reputation. As one man said, "I suppose that there's not a character in all the Bible who experienced such sudden and radical reversals of fortune as did Joseph." Think of it. One day he was his father's favorite son. The next day he was on his way to Egypt. In an instant, it reversed. One day he had hopes of deliverance through his friend, the cupbearer. Before that, he was head of a household, and the next moment he was in jail. And with hours, he suddenly had to be shaved. You see, all that time when he was in prison, all that time he never forgot God. Because in each dream we see the first thing he said, "It's not me to interpret, it's God that interprets." And so we see that he admits to even Pharaoh, "I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer of the dreams, and God will show you what to do, Pharaoh." But it just so happens that God gave Joseph some wisdom to suggest what to do. But we see the focus of Joseph in verse 16, and knowing that Joseph honored God and never compromised the truth. And he always said that God is the sole source of those dreams. He points to God from himself. That's really tough for us. We like to get the credit for things, even when we're trying to be humble. I won't say certain things, but I can say this, because I just want someone to know this. And sometimes in innocency, but here Joseph went and he could have said, "Yeah, God allowed me to interpret that dream, and I praise the Lord for that." There's nothing wrong with giving. Of course, when someone gives you a compliment, what should we do? Deflect the praise to where? To God. And someone's trying to encourage you, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, I was asked recently about something, and I said to the person, "What you do, it depends on your motive." You could say the same thing, or inside of the same thing, but it's the motive behind it, of which you do it, that determines God's blessing. And so we see that Joseph interpreted the dream, and he knew God's plan, that Pharaoh was now that Pharaoh knew what was going on, he was obligated to do what God had for him to do, because in verses 25 to 36, he foretells that dream. Joseph interprets it about how there's going to be plenty, and then there's going to be famine. and he sees the incredible truth. Now think of this. This is one thing. Remember what, look at Joseph's wise input. Look at verse 33 of chapter 41. It's right after he interpreted the dream. And he says, now therefore, everything that he said before now, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, set him over the land of Egypt. Do you think he was thinking of himself, of being that one? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Because of Joseph's character before and his humility before. But I do think that God gave him wisdom to say, I mean, think of it. He just came from prison. All Joseph, humanly speaking, wanted what? To get out of what? Yeah, he wanted to get out of prison, collect his $200 and go, you know? And so I'm not sure that that was reason, but God gave him discernment and said, this is what you need to do. This would be wise. Now, all the things that he told him to do, remember, this is a Hebrew, which they didn't have any problem with Hebrews in the land. They didn't even have problems about Hebrews having places in positions, in government or whatever. But here he is, Hebrew, and he tells them what's going to happen, and he tells them what to do. Now, an arrogant Pharaoh would say what? Well, let me ask you something. Have you not ever been where someone, let's say your child, says something to you that's pretty wise, but you don't do it. You haven't done it. And what they said is right. And how do you react? Your first reaction many times. Well, I know what my flesh does. You're not going to tell me what. You're just a little kid, you know. But think of it. Pharaoh was told these things. And can you not see God's hand in every aspect of this? A man that would say to someone, well, look what he did to even his wise men. Hey, what's this? You can't tell me this? I need to know. And he went to that Hebrew, and then that Hebrew went and told him, and he saw something about him, probably heard about him, knew about him from the butler and maybe even the king of the jailer. I doubt he went to Potiphar. And so he goes and we see that he takes all of the advice that this person gave. Just recently, one of my children, within the last probably a few months or things, gave me some advice, said something to me, and I remember how I reacted inside. No, that's not what I'm doing. And I started thinking about it. Yes, I even prayed about it. And you know what I found out? A rotten kid was right. And I had to say, Lord, okay, I give up. I won't look at it that way. And from that point on, I've not looked at it that way. And I don't know when that advice will have to be put into to place. But I'll tell you what. The Pharaoh of Egypt was there with this ray that I'm a god. And this 30-year-old kid said to him, this is what you need to do. But he didn't take it that way. Can you not see God's work in that? Can you not see that God will work in you? Someone's giving you advice as you go and ask someone, a godly person, that God will work and help and will discern. Don't just throw it out. God's going to do something. If he could do it to a wicked Pharaoh that was an idol worshiper, he can do it to his believers. As you look at the Word of God and His Spirit, and so we see his astuteness, the favor of Pharaoh and his astuteness. He clearly recognized that Joseph had special relationship with the Lord and that some powerful way the Lord by his Spirit was at work in Joseph's life. And so we've got to realize the verse in Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he wishes. 13 years before, his brother had stripped him of his special robe, and now Pharaoh gave him a greater significance in a robe that was second in command. And he makes this declaration. And look at verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? What do people think of you? People around, friends, family, relatives, business, what do they think of you? Here, an ungodly man said to other ungodly men, you know, he's right. This is what we need to do. We need to save up 20% these 7 years so that in the bad years, we can all live. That's very wise. Where else could we find someone other than him? And that was not Joseph that said that. That was God that put that discernment in his heart and life. As God discerned. As God knew what he was going to do. Was this just a dream? No, rather, it was a dream sent by God. Was this just a prison? No, rather, it was an experience that a wise and loving God had deemed necessary for Joseph's maturing. Was it just a job? No. Is it just a friendship? No. Is it just an accident? No, rather, it was the hand of God working in ours and others for others' benefits. And so he's appointed over that land. And we realize that he was second in command. The fervency of Joseph, his well-being, as you see, he was a man where the world around him said, where could I find anyone more that loves the Lord like this man? We got to have this guy here. There's something different about him. His countenance, his spirit, there's something different. And we see his well-being. And think of this. Pharaoh was given all of this information. Have you ever thought, what made Pharaoh say, okay, that is going to happen? The wise men that he trusted couldn't answer. Joseph did, but he saw something different about him, that it must have been the God that he served. And so we see that he went and said, okay, this is going to happen. Can you imagine the confidence that God brought into Joseph's heart as all these things came about? Think of it, as all the crops really grew and they've never had a year like that. They never had 7 years like this. Wow! Can you imagine what Pharaoh thought of Joseph? Better yet, can you imagine what Pharaoh thought of Joseph's God? Because where would Joseph point it? Where he'd always had pointed it to. God. But it encouraged him and made him confident. That's why we have testimonies, and I always want to hear your answers to prayer and what you're praying for. Why? It's going to encourage someone else. It's going to encourage us and see God's on the throne. God's working in many different ways. From we might think the little things of a golf cart running out of gas or having problems, to something else of just making it to the store, or maybe something that you need for cooking and there's only one thing left there on the shelf and you get it. But God is real. And God gave Joseph continued growth in his confidence as he continued to answer and control and see what God was doing. And Joseph thought the same when he was in prison, when things weren't going his way. But now God had things seemingly go his way, and he never forgot God. In fact, when he got married, he named his two sons he thought of his God, and he named his one son after about forgetting his past. He named him that he had forgot, so when he looked at him, he'd forget the misery of his separation from his family. And then he had another one that says, God has made me fruitful. But he's saying, God has made me fruitful. And so when he looked at his other son, he'd see both of them, and he'd see the past and the present or future in his sons as he named them, and he would look at them, and he would say, God's a great God in my past. God's a great God in my future. God's a great God in my present. You know, things have happened in our past. And I'm saying many of us probably wish we would have done something different. And it might have helped. But in God's sovereignty, you've got to realize that God was present. And he is watching over you. In our past and now in our present, I want you to know today God is watching over you. And did you know what? God's going to watch over you in the future. As far as on this earth. You see, God uses man and his gifts to exert his plan. But remember, details are important. For Joseph was planted in the right place, which God prepared for the progression of his life as well as others. For the place God has positioned you will impact others. I want you all to think this evening, right now, where's God placed you? Right now, not yesterday, tomorrow, right now, where has he placed you? He's placed you there to impact others. And you will. You will. From family to job place to recreation, to just your average going to the store. Wouldn't it be great if you just asked the Lord, I'm on my way to the store now, you know that. Make it a rich blessing. Maybe I might be able to encourage someone today at the store. But we are such a, got to get this. Instead of, hi. Never forget when we helped, I think I've mentioned it before, when we helped the Richmonds with their church plant in Queens. We went down there and we're going door to door and we're walking around. And as I was walking, I was walking from the different doors, putting the different flyers there, and people were coming by and I was walking by and saying, hi, how are you doing today? Trust you. And it was like, I said to my wife, I chuckled, and they'd go by and I'd say, check and see if, I think they're checking if I want something in their pocket or something. They're checking their pocketbooks. People don't know how to respond to someone when they're friendly. Do you know, the normal saying is, hi, how are you doing? First of all, they don't really mean that. Second of all, if you did tell them how you're doing, they're saying, who is this? So you know what I've been trying to do? I've been trying to say, when someone says, hi, how are you doing? I started thinking, well, I never say that to somebody. I must not think that they're, wait a second. And so when they do, I try to answer back. It says, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. And some of them go say, well, you're welcome. I said, so how are you doing? You know, why don't we just really let that Lord be the center of everything that we do? God was the center of everything that happened in Joseph's life. And it went from the prison to the palace. And he was patient. Because God knows exactly where that place is, where the place he wants the place to go. Remember as we close, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll bring it to pass. In other words, you trust in the Lord, don't lean on your understanding, acknowledge him, and you and I will end up exactly where God has placed us and wants us to be. Just as when Joseph was thrown in the pit, as God had planned for him to be in the palace and all that came in between, the same God loves you and is directing in your life as you trust him. Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening.